Hi guys, this is your girl Wakeji Kamore and welcome to Reflections by Wakeji Kamore. Thank you so much guys for listening. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, happy Sunday. Depending on the time that you get to listen to this, do remember to share the audio or the YouTube link with as many people as you can. So today I'll be covering the summary of the book of Leviticus chapter 19, which as mentioned yesterday is part of the section that speaks about how the Israelites are to remain holy as they walk with God. So I'm not able to read all the chapters line for line, word for word during the podcast. So that is why I do the summary, to give an overview of what the chapter is about. However, having said that, I strongly recommend that you read the chapter for yourself, line for line, word for word, so the word of God can speak to you personally. All right, so let's get straight into the summary. All right, so chapter 19 of Leviticus details some of the commandments that God's people were required to follow. It opens by explaining that the people of Israel should be holy in all things because God is holy. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that I am holy. God said, I am holy. And so should the Israelites be. So chapter 19 of Leviticus starts off with several basic guidelines, including the commandments that state how one should respect their father and mother. And this command is coupled with obeying the Sabbath. And disobeying these laws meant that a person was going against the word of God. In addition, God commanded that people refrain from worshipping false idols and prophets. The ritual of sacrifice must follow the rules laid out by the Lord. These fellowship offerings were to be offered to the Lord before being eaten that day or the next day. If the sacrifice was not eaten during the allotted time frame, the day of the sacrifice or the day after, it was to be burned. And if a person did not follow these rules, they were to be cut off from the community. Chapter 19 also lists laws on how to properly harvest one's crops. God says that there should be a portion of the crops given to those that are poor and those that are hungry. The rich and the powerful must also not have special privileges that give them advantages over other people. So the people of Israel were instructed by God to respect their elders, to respect the house of the Lord, and to refrain from turning to mediums or sorcerers or witches or all that. In addition, the Israelites were to show respect to non-believers as well as believers. This was aimed at the Egyptians that were living in Israel at that time. Leviticus chapter 19 ends with a summary of the chapter, and it reiterates all the Lord's commands and rules should be followed. And those who chose to disobey would suffer the consequences. All right, so one of the things that I noticed when I was reading this chapter, when I was doing my own devotion and I read this chapter line for line, I noticed there's a certain line that is repeated over and over. So more than 8 times in chapter 19, God himself says, I am the Lord, your God. And this caught my attention because, how can this one line be repeated 8 times in one chapter? It says, I am the Lord, your God. So in my understanding, this line has 2 perspectives to it. The first perspective is where God is making himself known as I am. God, who is self-existent, the creator and sustainer of the universe, the almighty God. God is making himself known as a mighty God, as an almighty God, as a creator and sustainer of the universe. Then we have the second perspective, where God, this mighty God, this creator and sustainer of the universe, the almighty God, is making himself known as a God who wants to relate with us. In this second part of the line, this mighty God lowers himself or makes himself relatable and accessible. You see, when I first thought about this line and just how God, great God is, and how, he has this desire to have a relationship with us. It reminded me of the famous movie Beauty and the Beast, and how a beast so vicious and so powerful and so dangerous falls in love with such like a small, fragile girl. And the fact that the beast fell in love with this girl does not mean that his power or his strength or his vicious self was absent. But the love that he had for this girl compelled the beast not to destroy her. I don't know whether my my analogy makes sense, but in the same, this is the same way with God. I mean, he's still this powerful, mighty, and holy God who cannot even coexist with sin. Yet, the love that he has for us being very unholy and very sinful, compels him to not wipe us off the earth. But instead, he moves earth and heavens. Can I even say that about God? It makes it possible for us to move from sinful to righteous, from unholy to saints, through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, just so that he can have a relationship with us. I mean, how this mighty God can want to have a relationship with me? Such an undeserving being, human being, honestly, that beats me. I completely get David. You know, when he wrote in Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 to 4, actually verse 3, almost all the way to the end of Psalms chapter 8, it says, "When I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place." As in, David is like, when I look at this, you God, and all that you have done, and you know, all your great works, the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moons and the stars. David was wondering, what is man that you're mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him. Like, compared to how great you are. As in, what is man that you care for him? And actually, like the ERV version, the easy to read version. Because this is what it says. "I look at the heavens you made with your hands. I see the moon and the stars that you created. And I wonder, why are people so important to you? Why do you even think about them? Why do you care so much about humans? Why do you even notice them?" I honestly get David even at the point where he wrote this. Like, this God is so mighty. Why does he care about so much about us? And you see, the thing is, that's not all that God does. He doesn't just notice us and think about us and care about us. But it continues right there to say, "But you made them almost like gods, and you crowned them with glory and honor. You put them in charge of everything that you do. You put everything under their control." As in, we are so undeserving, so undeserving. Yet God has loved us with a love that cannot even be explained. And he's given us so much authority. He is surely, "I am the Lord, our God." This is your girl, Wakeji Kamore, and this has been Reflections by Wakeji Kamore.